Good morning, everyone.
That was quite nice. We need to sing that one sometime. That was wonderful. Thank you, Vicky. Good morning, everybody. Glad to have some of you back from the dead. Resurrection life and power. The Lord raised us up. He kept us in life. Put us here and kept us here. Under extenuating circumstances. Sometimes difficult ones. But there's only one name in which there's salvation. Salvation in no one else. The name of Jesus. I like to proclaim the name of Jesus. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by what? The Holy Spirit. So we say, Jesus, repeat after me. Jesus is Lord. The Holy Spirit then is here to teach us. Thank you, Lord. Everybody get my email regarding masks and distance precautions. Now let me spit on you. You're going to move back a little bit, okay? Because I always spit when I talk. But thank you for your cooperation. This morning, our message is Pastors and Deacons, Mystery Ministers. Sunday, December 13th, 2020, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for those who came out this morning to receive the precious commodity, the precious treasure, the thesaurus, the word treasure, of your truth, the mystery, hidden for ages and generations, so that the devil couldn't get it, and so that man could not distort it, and so that the Jews could not soft sell it. But it was kept for that man who was both Jew and Gentile, who was a citizen of heaven, and still a citizen of Rome, the great, by his humility and by your plan, purpose, and will in his life, the great apostle, the apostle Paul, the apostle the 13th apostle to the 13th tribe, e pluribus unum, the nation of many nationalities, the one are many, the many are one. We just thank you for all of these things that are so wonderful that you've revealed to us the mystery which is beyond magnificent. Homologemonos, without controversy or question, everyone who knows anything about it says it is mega magnificent. We just thank you for this, Lord. Make it so for each one of us today in an increment in Jesus' name. Holy name we pray, amen. Pastors and deacons, mystery ministers, Sunday, December 13th, 2020. 1 Corinthians 4:1, Paul says, let anyone who talks about us, thinks about us, or speaks about us, regard us in this manner, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. That's how I want to be known. In this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy. That means their message is consistent. It's consistently Christ. Of course, you know that the mystery is the true identity of Christ and the body of Christ, the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. You know that already. It's all that is unique, all that is distinct, all that is unprecedented, belonging to church age believers only, revealed to one man, the Apostle Paul, which corresponds to the day and the hour where he was stoned to death in Lystra. In 2 Corinthians 12:1 to 9, when he was taken up into the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, he didn't know, where he heard unspoken, spoken words, never heard or spoken before. Hid with Christ inside of God, as every believer is, also likewise in the body of Christ. You're not the bride of Christ, you're the body of Christ. And Christ is the head of the body. So, true of the apostle, he's the mystery messenger and minister, and true also of pastors, because that is the doctrine and tradition, rich tradition, which was passed down to each one of us. And then also in each local assembly, the one official office that exists, the deacon, not elders. There are not elders and deacons and trustees. There's only pastors and diakonos. There's diakonoi, which is the chief pastor. We have one here, it's Brad, who serves you so faithfully for all these years. And then the others, who likewise do, Dan and Matt Schultz. We only have three here, so you're supposed to have seven. Well, that means everybody would be a deacon in our church. We don't need everybody to be one. Three's enough for now. We can't seem to get anything done, just three of us, let alone seven. Seven, we'd be stepping on each other's toes and tripping each other. Kidding. We do just fine. Just the way we are. We're unique, that's for sure. Anyway, our text this morning is 1 Timothy 3, 8-15. So we best get to it. Deacons are to be ministers of the mystery also. Mystery ministers. As pastors are also. Here he says, deacons likewise. What does he mean? Likewise. Just like the pastor, are to be men of dignities. Diakonos, or deacons. Deacons are waiters. That's all they are, is waiters. Serving tables, ensuring that everyone who attends a local church, which is the dining hall of the spiritual life, he makes sure that everyone has accommodation, a comfortable place to sit, a place setting conducive to listening and learning. It has adequate facilities that provide the necessities, even amenities, some amenities, like coffee. We have coffee for you. We don't charge you for coffee. You pay for it. Maintaining order is the order of the day. Ensuring privacy, visiting the sick. That's what deacons do. Praying for the pastor and the congregation, helping, watching, and taking care of business, church business, money issues, etc. Deacons are officers of the church, appointed by the pastor. Of course, they have to agree to do it, do the job. Outstanding men who excel in life, family, career, conduct, and have good standing in the community. Self-sustaining, willing to serve, free of charge. They keep asking me, when are we going to get paid? I said, in eternity, you'll be paid. Official representatives of the local assembly, board members, fellow decision makers along with the pastor, associates in ministry, creating policy and enforcing policy, and administrating policy and the affairs of the church, conducting the business of the church, along with the pastor, who is the chief operating officer and president of the board, and is the only paid member. He gets paid. They don't. Next, he says, in the same way, deacons, in the same way, that is, those who qualify as deacons, do so by possessing the same qualifications and character as a pastor. They don't have the same gift, but they have the same qualifications and character as the pastor. And it's not natural, it's spiritual. It's endowed. So it says, in the same way, dignified, the word is semnous, dignified, devout, loyal, or honorable, means all of those things. So that's who you are, deacons. And ours are certainly that, and more. In case you don't know who they are, I already introduced them to you. Brad, who is diakonoi, who is the chief deacon, Dan, and Matt, who share various functions and responsibilities and do, always do, what's needed and necessary to keep our church going forward. The three of them are wonderful that way. They faithfully serve the church as deacons. They pray, watch, administrate with me, and make sure everything is being done in a Christ-centered, God-honoring way according to the Word of God. That's what we do. We make sure everything we do is biblical to the best of our ability and as God shows us and teaches us. So it says, in the same way, dignified, devout, loyal, and honorable, not dialogos, dialogos, which means two-tongued, literally, or two-mouthed, or insincere, is what it really describes, or hypocritical, that is saying one thing and doing another. Can't be that kind of a person. Or claiming to agree when in fact they do not, depending on who they are speaking with. That's what a two-tongued person does. They say this to this group and that to another, or depending upon who they're with. Their opinion and the things they say change. So, these, anyone like this is not qualified. Only those, if they are gifted as pastors, would likewise hold the office. In other words, they have the same characteristics, character, and qualification as a pastor. Therefore, these are certainly devoted to the Lord and to His Word, even as the pastor is. And I know that's true for our men. Cut from the same cloth, but having differing gifts, as the Spirit determines and distributes. So he says, in the same way, dignified, devout, loyal, or honorable, not two-tongued, insincere, hypocritical. Then he says, not, we're going to have to fire some people out this afternoon, not addicted, not in this place, to much oino. You know what oino is? Wine? Oino. Here we have to hold, to have, or hold alongside. The word is prosecco for the word addicted. To have or to hold alongside. Pros means alongside, and echo means to have or to hold. To hold alongside, that means they always have a glass in their hand with frequency or regularity. Those who drink daily cannot be deacons. They have to have a drink, or they're not right. Those who need a drink to take the edge off, or to calm their nerves do not qualify as deacons. Someone might say Paul told Timothy to take a little wine for his stomach. See, we'll dismantle all of these misguided arguments. Paul told Timothy, take a little wine for your stomach. This was for bodily purposes, not for mental purposes, not for relief of anxiety or stress. And 1 Timothy 5:23 says, no longer drink water exclusively, but use a little wine for the sake of your stomach and your frequent ailments. 1 Timothy 5:23, be no longer a drinker of water, he tells him, literally, present active imperative. Here, don't be just a water drinker. He says, not complete asceticism or never touching any wine, but only the need of some wine, urged in Timothy's particular or peculiar physical condition, a sort of medical prescription, as it was for his case. But he says, but use a little wine. It's a present middle imperative of kreomai, which means the emphasis is on oligoi, which is a little. Use a little, very little. Then he says, for the sake of your stomach, diaton stomachon, and stoma means for the mouth or the opening of the stomach. And he says, for your often infirmities, the word is pukinos. He must puke all the time. That must be where we get the word puke. It's an old word, a dense word, frequently used in the New Testament and places, other places not in the New Testament, only here, Luke 5:33 and Acts 24:26. Then he says, asthenos, which means weakness, for your weakness, that is lack of strength, which is a term, an adjective used to describe someone who is semi-invalid or greatly impaired. So possibly Timothy was a semi-invalid, had serious problems, serious physical problems, stomach problems, as it refers to. Then he says, not greedy or shameful. It's eiskrokerdes, which means greedy or shamefully prone to greed or shamefully attained or ill-gotten gain, dirty money, as it were, stolen goods or services, illegally attained money, shady money, money laundering schemes, or bribeable individual, one who would take bribes, etc. And shameful, ill-gotten, that is from ice crow, iskunes, which means shameful, and then kerdes, which means gain or money. So it would be ill-gotten gain or money. They can't be inclined to greed or ill-gotten gain. So you guys are out as of this afternoon. I'm kidding. They don't do that at all. And verse 9, that was verse 8. That's the beginning of the qualifications. Here comes the more, even more important ones here. He says, but holding. Here we have having and holding. This is something they have inside, something they hold on to, something they make sure that they have and hold at all times, something they bought and they're not about to sell. Buy the truth and sell it not, Proverbs 23:23. Buy the truth and don't sell it, no matter what somebody offers. Having and holding. Here we have the mysterion, to mysterion, the mystery. The mystery, here he calls it the mystery of the faith. Why is it the mystery of the faith? Because it's the faith of Jesus Christ. The faith from Jesus Christ. Faith that is a gift of grace. You say, well, how come I have faith? And I do have it. Because God gifted it to you. God gave it to you. Jesus Christ put it in you, in your heart, to have it and to hold it. It's the mystery of the faith. So what do? Try to figure it out? No, just thank him for it. Keep on moving. Move on to the next thing that he has for you. Don't say, what have you done for me lately, Lord? Try to inventory. Take inventory. The blessedness. The fantastic blessedness for time and eternity. Eternal life and abundant life that's yours in Christ Jesus. He promises to always give you, that you'll always have everything you need with some left over to give away so that you can be a proper representative of Christ, whether you're a deacon or not. And that's not even the issue. It's all believers are under the same mandate to know and to have and hold the mystery, holding the mystery of the faith, having and holding the mystery of the faith of Jesus Christ. This life I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Therefore, I do not frustrate God's grace. For if righteousness came by my doing what the law says, then Christ died for nothing, needlessly. And he didn't die needlessly. He didn't die for nothing. He died for something. He died for you to bring all of this about in your life. So just keep trusting him, and the next great adventure is just around the bend. Yep, I'm telling you right now. Is he done with us yet? Nope. He may have just begun to open up the realms, the great vista of possibility. What's impossible for man is entirely possible for God. And nothing is impossible for him. Nothing is impossible for those who believe him. It's the faith of Christ. So he says the mystery of the faith. It's Christ's faith. And it is mysterious indeed that you could believe every word of God and have a deep and abiding faith and have never fathomed the depths of any of it. And yet you know it's so because of the one who said it. He says that you have known the Holy Scriptures from a child, many of us, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus, the faith of Christ. It's called the plenary genitive. It means it's of Christ. It's to you, but it's of Christ and from Christ and goes back to Christ. It's received and reciprocated. It's amazing and a wonderful thing that he's given us. So do you have faith this morning? Then it's from Christ. It's a gift. It says, by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourself. That doesn't come from you. It's the gift of God. What is grace and faith? Not of works. Not of works. It's nothing to do with works, lest anyone should dare to boast. So, he says, having and holding the mystery of the faith. You know who Christ is, and hardly anybody else around you. Maybe nobody else in your family even knows who he is at all. They said, well, he was historical Jesus. He was the one that healed people, and he was God's boy. He was God's human son. He was much more than that. He was God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, the one that created man in his own image and likeness and died for man, who hung upon the cross and cried out for 3 hours, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My God, the Father, my God, the Spirit, why have you forsaken me? God, the Son, Father, Son, and Spirit, in him the fullness of the Godhead dwells in bodily form. And you, my friends, are complete in him. In Colossians 2:9-10. Isn't that wonderful? You could rejoice in that. If nothing else makes you happy, that should make you happy for the rest of your life. If you think about it, and that's all you have to do, is think about it. What's meditation on the word? Thinking about these things and letting them have their course in your life and to thrill your soul once again like they used to. Like they used to. Like they used to. Remember? You can go back there again and start over as many times as you need to. I have to start over every day. Do you? I hope so. So it's fresh and new and alive and powerful and sharp. Pierces and cuts. Cuts away from all familiarity. Brings me into face-to-face fellowship and reality with the invisible Christ who dwells within me. Oh, that's the hope of glory, Christ in you, the hope of glory, the anticipation, expectation of what's about to happen, the next great adventure, going to be with him when he appears at the point of the sky. That's called the blessed hope of every believer of the church, the soon appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, great God and Savior, the Granville Sharperell, Jesus Christ. He's one and the same. There is no other God or Savior beside me. You know Isaiah's testimony. He saw him high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, and angels were buzzing around. They cried, "Holy, holy, holy, God in three persons, blessed Trinity, Jesus Christ, the personification of God, the visible spectrum of color in the rainbow light, who is Jesus Christ, God the Father and Son, God the Father and Spirit, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, for there is salvation in no one else." No one else. He says, you believe in God? Fine. Believe also in me. To believe in God is theotic awareness, which everybody has been given. So they go to the next step. If and when they choose to, freely, that is to believe in the person of Christ for eternal salvation. For there is no salvation in anyone else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth refrain. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away. But there's something about that name. Let's sing. I feel like it. I'm happy about this. Truly, I am. All these things are so wonderful. They're almost too wonderful for me. And I know you feel the same. So, here we have the qualifications of a deacon, a minister of the mystery. Having and holding the mystery of the faith, then he says, in a clear katharos, you know what catharsis is? It means a purging. A clear purged or purified. Then he says, sunidesis, which is conscience, a clear, purged, purified conscience. One who places maximum value upon the precious truths of the New Testament, the mystery of the gospel, the mystery of Christ, the mystery of Christ indwelling believers, the mystery of the amalgamation of people without distinction who believe into the body of Christ, the mystery of all Israel being saved, the mystery of the exit resurrection of the church, 1 Corinthians 15:56, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. The mystery of marriage. I'm speaking of Christ in the church. In Ephesians 5:32-36, the mystery of iniquity, which we did last time we met, and the mystery of godliness, which we'll get to starting next week once again. We'll hit that again because there's so much in that passage. And I'll make you say it over and over and over. Revealed in a flash. Dun, 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 dun. We'll do that again. Take it apart. I'm going to teach it to you so you know it in the Greek. How's that? I'm learning it in the Greek. To have and hold these things is the greatest wealth and treasure that anyone could ever hope to have, that anyone could have and hold. This you buy without money, by the investment of time and intention. Sometimes by wrestling with the Lord, not letting him go until he blesses you, like Jacob, who would do anything to receive the blessing, lie, cheat, and steal if he had to, which he did. And why did God commend that? Because he'd done anything to get it. It was that important, paramount in his mind. He'd do anything to receive the blessing, and our blessing is far greater than his. Our relationship with God Almighty, far more personal and intimate than anything Jacob had. And our deacons know this. Deacons have to know this. How many qualifies deacons in churches? We don't care about what other churches do. We're talking about ours. We follow the word of God. By this, our motivation is pure, our conscience clear, clean and pure, and we're free to pursue the highest and best that God has for us, both for time and eternity. With eternal life comes abundant life, with blessing that overflows to many others. The blessing that you have is so that you can be a blessing to others. Verse 10, he says, but, here's the big but, duh, also, Kai, these, that is those who are candidates or qualified to be deacons, must first, protos, first, be dokimazo, that is, they must be tested. And then he says, ita, if then, they are without formal charges, let them serve. If they meet these qualifications, if they are devout, dignified and honorable men, if they are students of the word, modest or moderate in all things, purely motivated, esteeming the mystery most highly, not drinkers, not greedy, without criminal charges hanging over them, well-known, well-liked, well-respected, as all of our three deacons are, with only a few exceptions. How many is a few? Three. Oh, never mind. They're good. And that gives us our perfect segue into our next group of deacons. I'm kidding. Serving in this high office. And that is, women can be deacons. Yes, they can, according to this passage. It's terrible how they've misinterpreted this and mistranslated this in the Word of God. Those who are translators from the original language did a great disservice to the ladies when the Bible did just the opposite, because there is no distinction in Christ. There are certain offices that are held only by men and certain things that only women can do. It's called gender-specific truth in the Word of God, but here women can be deacons. There are two official offices, only two official offices, in the church, pastor and deacon. Though many, if not most, women do not or will not want to be deacons, and they don't. In many cases, in many instances, in most instances, they're in no way restricted from serving in the high office, should the pastor ask them to serve. There are only two official offices, pastor and deacon. The first is given only to men, that is, pastor of the church, who would not, the reason it's given to men is they would not naturally possess the patience and or the humility required for such an office, but the Lord gives them and develops in them what the job requires, and he gets all the credit, because it can't come from them, and all the glory for the supernatural enablement that he provides, and the gift that is heavenly, the ascension gift of pastor, given only to men. Verse 11 says this, women must likewise be dignified. Here, gunaikas, or gune, is not wives, but women. They translated it wives, the wives of deacons, and that's not what it says. It says women, likewise, like the men who serve as deacons, must be, the same word, semnos, dignified, only in the feminine, dignified, devout, or honorable. See, it proves he's talking about women serving as deacons. And then here's one for you. Not devilish. Not devilish. Which means slanderer. A slanderer, a malicious gossip. Rather restrained, which is nephalios, which means temperate or sober, not given to much wine, even as the men. And then it says pistos, faithful in all things. Here it says women, gunaikas, as in verse 8 also apparently, women as deacons. Romans 16:1 talks about Phoebe, who is a deaconess, and not women in general, or just wives of deacons. That's a bad translation. He says, not slanderers, me diabolus, original meaning of diabolos from Diabello in Luke 16:1, the devil being the chief slanderer in Ephesians 6:11, literally could be translated, because it's in the feminine, she-devils, Titus 2:3. While men are more prone to dialogos, being double-tongued, women are more prone than men to be slanderers, according to the scripture. Sins of the tongue are more prevalent among women. Faithful in all things, he says, pistis and posson, which here, as official distributors, as deacons are, of alms in the early church, and even afterward, and in many other churches, the deaconesses had special temptations. They might be prejudiced and not want to give equally to those in need. But, so that be that as it may. Verse 12, deacons must be husbands, back to deacons, husbands of only one wife, and those who are female, in the same way, a wife of one husband, and good managers of their children and their own households. Here he says, deacons, diakonoi, must be, it's an imperative, must be one woman, men, that's what it says, literally. One woman kind of man, that is gentlemen or husbands, husband, which is a nair, a gentleman or a husband, a one woman man, monogamous, in other words, whether men or women. This does not infer that they could never have been divorced, but rather, if they are married presently, there must be a stable marriage with loving authority and all submissiveness in the rank and file, husband, wife, and dependent children. He says, next he says, ruling well. Children, that is minor children in the home, also their own houses, the affairs of their own house. A peaceful and organized life is required, so that they don't come to be blamed, or the church being blamed, or dishonored in any way. An organized life free of turmoil, orderly, hospitable, not perfectly, of course, because people are not perfect. Together serving the Lord with gladness, Joshua 24:15. I don't know, but as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. If your household is out of control, do what you can to corral the wayward, and then you will qualify to be a deacon, if that's God's call in your life. Everyone has their lot in life, and if you don't like yours, then commit your way to the Lord and make decisions to change it, depending on Him every step of the way. Seek the Lord, for whom nothing is impossible. Ask Him for wisdom. Trust His goodness, His grace, and mercy, and be grateful for what you have. All that you need and almost everything you want is already yours. And for what you don't have, that's like some chronic ailment or gripping addiction that causes you to just stop. Everything good stops, and you crash and burn. See, then you won't care if nothing changes, if you have these things in place, and we'll be happier still if or when it does. I can tell you why nothing is going right in your life, because you're holding back your life, your time, your interest, your thoughts, your words, your decisions, your intentions, and your actions from the Lord. You've taken back your life, and it will amount to nothing. You think your life is your own. It's not. You've been bought with a price. And because you think that, you're living the wrong way, and you're messing it up terribly, like you used to. And then you found the answer, and then you forgot again. I know what I'm talking about, because I did it for many years and then turned a corner through divine discipline and serious illness, which I'm so thankful for that very reason. I would have been gone if he let me go, but he didn't. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews 13:5. Verse 13, those who served well as deacons obtained for themselves a high standing and great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. He says, for the explanatory conjunction, subordinate conjunction, gar, for you see. He says, those having served, diakoneo, which means, that's from the word deacon, served as deacons, having served well as deacon, kalos, served well as deacons, obtain for themselves, peripoieo means to obtain, for themselves, eutois, a good kalon, standing, and much confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. Like Stephen, remember the first deacon? Acts chapter 6. Bold as he can be, proclaiming the name, which is above every other name, filled with the Holy Spirit and the word of truth, calling to friends, Romans and countrymen, to come and hear the greatest story ever told, the story of God Almighty, reduced to and invested in 23 male chromosomes. Story of Christmas. Did you know that was the story of Christmas? Being non-sexually implanted in the womb of a virgin, being born into the family of David in the city of David, Bethlehem, in a stable, as the scriptures declared, exactly as they declared he would be, laid in an eating trough and wrapped in Egyptian burial cloth like a mummy, visited by shepherds who kept the flock of slaughter. For he was indeed the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, visited by foreign dignitaries who were shown by the scriptures and guided by a star to this universal, monumental, supreme event of human history, making sense of all that came before and all that had to occur afterward over the course of history. Salvation for the world by receiving this one and believing in him as the one and only God and Savior of mankind. God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, hanging on a cross, shedding his life blood to make atonement for the sins of the whole world in a single afternoon. Wow! Tell it, pastors, likewise, deacons. Go tell it on the mountains, that Jesus Christ is born. Let nothing else captivate or motivate you more, for there is nothing more urgent or important in history than his story. Verse 14. I am writing these things to you, Paul says, hoping to come to you before very long. He says, grapho, I write. And he says, tauta, these things, soy, to you. hoping, El Pizzo, hoping to come, Erico Mai, to pros toward you. Then he says, "En taxi," shortly, or in short order. En taxi, in short order. He says, always longing, Paul always longing, to see the brethren face to face for the fullness of joy, as John says often in his epistles. I long to see you face to face that our joy may be full. It's best to be face to face. Always best or better to be face to face. It's personal. It's up close and personal. And the Spirit is here and Christ is present. Walking among the lampstands in the aisles of the church. He's here every single time. He promised to be, and therefore, he's here, even now. We acknowledge that each time we come to church. And that's one of the reasons that we come, because Christ is going to be there. I've said to people over the years, I said, we had a great time at church today. Jesus asked where you were. He was there. Say, oh, well, okay. I'll come back. Come back to church. Because Jesus is there. Not because of anybody else, but because of him. You say, I can get something out of every time I go, I get something wonderful. Well, how's that possible? That's just my attitude. That's my mental attitude. I know I'm going to get something wonderful. And guess what? Because I think that way, it always, without exception, occurs each and every time. How about that? God's able to speak through a jackass, so he can certainly speak through me. Get it? And you. People are so shallow. Oh, God can't do anything. I'm just on my own. And you haven't learned anything yet. Come on, get with it, loser. I know how Colonel Theme used to say that all the time. He'd say, loser! The Bible says this is all yours, and you say, I don't believe you, God. Then you're a loser. It's true. Every word of God is pure and true. He's a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Not one word of God falls to the earth, falls to the ground. Every word that goes forth never returns void. It always accomplishes the purpose for which it was sent forth. It's living and powerful. It's sharp like a two-edged sword, piercing the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, is a critic of the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Don't you know? So stop talking like that. Stop being your own worst enemy. Your words are swords, and you cut yourself with them. You say you believe, and you dismantle your faith in words of unbelief. Don't do it anymore. Catch yourself. Stop short of doing such things. So, Paul's always longing to see the brethren face to face for the fullness of joy. See, we need one another. You need me, and I need you. I need you, and you need me. We need each other in the family tree. The pastor needs the people need the pastor. Besides being brothers and sisters in the royal family of God, we are also dear friends. That's great to have that. Guess what? Most people can't say that. They belong to the Elks, or the Owls, or the Water Buffaloes. They might be in a fraternity, but they don't have dear friends and close associates, except by some extraneous connection to some worldly club, which doesn't meet the requirement of any intimacy or truth. So, brothers and sisters and dear friends, you and I need to share the Lord, the Word, the encouragement, comfort, love, and grace, which is given to each one in Christ Jesus. That's what we have to give. That's what we have to share. Outsiders are drawn to Christ when we love one another and gather together to hear the word of God. Did you know that? You fulfill the will of God. It's the 11th commandment. It sums up everything in the first 10. A new commandment I give you, that you love agape one another, even as I have agape loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. The commandments of the Lord are not grievous, but gracious in every way. See it? That's all he requires you to do. And you say, oh, I will not. Why not? Hot shot. You're not going to prosper in any way until you understand that. And humble yourself under the mighty hand of God so that he might exalt you in due season. Come on. Verse 15. But in case I get delayed, if I don't get to see you as I want to, as I wish to, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself. This is the deacons once again. They enforce these things and they make sure that these things are happening. At all times, when they come to the pastor and say, that's not happening, we need to make that happen. So would you please say something to somebody or to everybody? The household, conduct himself in the household of God. What's the household of God? God lives here in this place, in you and in this place. For Jesus comes on Tuesday and Sunday. Tuesday at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday at 10 a.m. And he's here for an hour both times. The household of God, which is the church. Why do I say stuff like that? Because it's true. Because the Bible says it. So guess what? It must be true. And it's remarkable if you think it's true. And if you don't think it's true, then it's just some religious thing that means nothing. And nothing is like that from the Word of God. Know how to conduct himself in the church of God, which is the church of the resurrected Christ, the living God, the pillar and support or ground of the truth. He says, but if, I should be delayed. Paul is in prison, though he hopes to get out so that he can visit the churches in person. He knows he is likely not going to do so. And so he writes these important instructions that are to be implemented immediately, because they are very important to the life and the health, acceptability of the worship of the church. In Corinth, he tells them with regard to the communion fiasco that was going on there, that he will fix things when he arrives. But here, he wants them to take care of these things at once in case he is delayed or cannot come at all, as he wishes to do, but realizes he may not be able to do. Not wanting to be in prison, but indeed wanting to be in the will of God, like Christ, Paul submits to the will of God without any reservation. In Luke 22:41, he's like Christ. He withdrew from them, Christ did, the Garden of Gethsemane, about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and began to pray, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. Have you prayed that prayer? You need to. Next he says, but if I should be delayed, in order that you should know very well. What's our word for know very well, or be able to see? Oida, you got it. In order that you should know very well, or even fully or perfectly, how, da, one ought, in the house, en, oiko, in the house of God, ho theos, to conduct oneself. Anastrepho means to conduct oneself. He says, this is the church of the living God. Here, the living God is one who died and rose, never to die again. That's Jesus Christ, who is God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, who died on the cross, who shed his blood in Acts 20:28, who is in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing men's sins. So, he's the one who ever lives to make intercession for us at the right hand of the God, of the right hand of the deity of the Trinity in heaven, the fullness of reality and identity in the Trinity in heaven, the one that ever lives to make intercession for us in order to save us to the uttermost, which is panteles. Panteles means completely, perfectly, and utterly. He will do it. He has to, because if he doesn't do it, it won't be done. You understand that? So he says, the house of the church of the living God. Then he says, the pillar. Pillar stulos. The pillar holds the building up. It bears the weight of the roof and all of the superstructure that above the foundation. And it's the strong pillar, which is Christ. The church founded and formed by him, made to endure every assault. Of course, he is the pillar, and he is also the foundation. In 1 Corinthians 3:11, Matthew 16:18, he says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overpower it, so it will stand. Likewise, in the New Jerusalem, the temple, which is made without hands and without stone, which is Christ, and Christ corporate. In Revelation 21:22, I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God the Almighty and the Lamb are its temple, made with living stones, as Peter tells us. And John tells us in Revelation 3:12, likewise having living pillars upon which history, that is, new names and royal titles of believers, will be written. Revelation 3:12, he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will not go out from it anymore. And I will write on him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and my new name. Next he says, the pillar and ground. Here's ground. Hedairoma, which means build on solid ground, on rock as it were, not on shifting sand. Those who teach must never succumb to winds and waves of fear and doubt from false or spurious teachings, or inject carnal doctrines, false additions to the truth of God's word. Legalism regarding food and drink, harsh treatment of the body, even an overemphasis on health and bodily exercise, rather than in lieu of a steady regimen of eating the word and exercising oneself unto godliness. These things, spurious doctrines, cannot, should not be tolerated. Romans 14:17, you know the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. You know that. But righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 13:9, don't be carried away by varied and strange teachings, for it's good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods, through which those who were so occupied didn't benefit at all. They still died. 1 Timothy 4:8. Physical exercise has some value, but spiritual exercise, that's what you got to do. You can physically exercise, but make sure you spiritually exercise first is much more important, for it promises a reward in this life. You don't have to wait till heaven. It promises a reward in this life, abundant life, and the next besides. How about that? So, the pillar and ground, then he says, of the truth. We teach Christ, who is in every way the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6, Ephesians 4:21, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus. Every message we bring is Christ. Every answer we give to every question asked is Christ. Here's the question posed. Christ is the answer. Now, what's your question? J. Vernon McGee said that. Christ is the answer. Now, what's your question? He said, you can answer every question everybody has. You say, Christ is the answer before you even ask. So, now, what's your question? And the answer is Christ. He's the answer. Christ is the solution to every problem. Whatever your problem is, Christ is the solution. He teaches us how to live and makes our life really count. We live by the word of Christ. In Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of Christ. We walk in dependence upon the Spirit of Christ. Romans 8:9, 1 Peter 1:11, Galatians 5:16. We lay aside all differences, and all who seek the truth come together for edification and the communication of truth, complete with instruction, sometimes reproof, correction, and sometimes rebuke. And each time we come, we take the message to heart, repent if we need to, and walk away clean. We do not come to critique the pastor, to oppose the message or the messenger, recruit support for a particular position, for political causes or candidates. Rather, we only rally around Jesus Christ, who is the sole celebrity of the church, and the only role model of all things spiritual, acceptable, commendable, and rewardable through Jesus Christ, our great God and Savior. This is what the church is for. Don't therefore fight it. Just let it be the instrument of God for real good and lasting happiness for all who come in contact with its message and ministry, all of which is Christ. Like the pastor and the deacons, the goal of each one is to know him, who he truly is, and who we are in him, who he says that we are, all according to the great or magnificent mystery of Christ and the church, which is his body. Ephesians 1:23, 1 Timothy 3:16, Chi, homologimenos, mega eston, tu tes eusebias, musterion, hos, aphanerothe, and sarke, ed kaiothe, en pneumati, ophthe angelois, ekruxthe, en ethnason, epistuthe, en cosmo, anel emthe, en doxe. By common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. He who was revealed in the flesh was vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the encouragement of the scriptures and to conform us as they do and by the ministry of the Holy Spirit into the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ inwardly. Etch your word into our souls, into our stream of consciousness, so that it resides and circulates there and grows and expands and results in wonderful capabilities for life and godliness in Christ Jesus, for the glory and honor of Jesus Christ. Father, also bless the offering today in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.